I'm Afshin Ratansi and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. Today, the foreign minister of the superpower of this century, China, Wang Yi, and his friend, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, joins envoys from Cuba and Saudi Arabia at the scheduled UN General Assembly in New York. It is amidst NATO-armed all-out war on Palestine, on Lebanon, and the NATO wars on Russia through Ukraine and China through Taiwan. It comes as NATO countries institute ever more Orwellian curbs on freedom of speech, with mass persecution of protesters in the belly of the beast of empire, the USA, but also the persecution stretches to US puppet proxies in Western Europe. In Britain, journalists like Richard Medhurst, Kit Clarenberg and Sarah Wilkerson have faced UK state repression under Section 12 of the Terrorism Act. Even the great Palestinian scholar and author of Return, a Palestinian memoir, In Search of Fatima and Married to Another Man, Dr. Ghada Karmi, has been questioned by UK security forces. An ex-associate fellow at MI6 linked Chatham House, her latest book is One State, The Only Democratic Future for Palestine, Israel. She joins me now from London. Dr. Karmi, thank you so much. You've been one of the most eloquent truth tellers of the crimes committed against Palestine by UK, US, EU armed supremacists. I want to get to the genocide and the war on Lebanon in a minute. But unbelievably to some, you have been targeted, thrown out of Labour by Sir Starmer and his regime, and questioned by police. Just what happened before we get into the geopolitical context of what happened to you on a micro level?
Well, first of all, I was expelled from the Labour Party, the British Labour Party. I had been a member since 1986, I think. About 18 months ago, they got in touch and they said, you are accused of anti-Semitism. Now, the evidence they put forward was various articles I have written. One of them was 4 years old. They were not recent. And they were articles which indeed I had written and about Israel. That's what I always write about. That is what I speak about. Israel, not Jews, but Israel. So I wrote back, but they allow you a defense. So I wrote back and I said, there's no anti-Semitism here. I refute the accusation. This is about Israel. And I've always been concerned about Israel. Israel is a state. It is not a protected category. And so your accusations are baseless. And that was that. It's as if I had never bothered to write at all. They came back with, an identical. They just simply sent it again.
In fairness, we've had Jeremy Corbyn on this program and, you know, he's been kicked out, obviously, and he's the former leader of the party, that party. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but the Israeli ambassador to Britain was invited this week to the Starmer Labour conference, Tzipi Hotovely. And he said every school, every mosque, every second house is a legitimate target for Israel. So, you know, maybe you're pleased you're not in that party.
Well, frankly, I wouldn't want to be in the party led by Keir Starmer. I don't want to be in a party that is so closely aligned to Israel. To cut a long story short...
Yeah, the police is what I want to hear about, because that's another level.
Yeah, okay. This was really something completely unexpected. At the beginning of this year, 2024, I received an invitation to a book festival. And that's fine because of my new book, which you kindly mentioned, One State. And I was invited to give a talk about this book. So I went along. This book festival takes place in a small, sleepy, town in south of London. It's a town called Lewes, and the sort of people who live there and who come to the festival are educated, what you'd call liberal. Nice.
It's not the front line of the Intifada, the third Intifada, then.
Absolutely. So I turned up with my with my book, and I started to speak, and I said I would, addressing the audience, which are all typically well-meaning, very English people, whom I doubt really had an awful lot to do with what they call foreigners. So I said, let me just clarify, first of all, there are organizations and names that you hear. You may not know necessarily all there is to know about them. Let me just start off by telling you something about Hamas. Now, you may know, or the audience may know, that Hamas is vilified in the West. In Britain in particular, it is classified as a terrorist organization. So when I spoke, I said Hamas is actually a Palestinian political party. They have various functions because they are the former government of Gaza. And also they have a section which is a resistance against occupation, a resistance against Israel. That's what Hamas is. Somebody in the audience popped up and said, you haven't said they're a terrorist organization. Apparently, I was told much later that if you mention Hamas in a public meeting, you have to say a proscribed terrorist organization. You have to add that. So I hadn't done that. And this person said, that you support terrorists, you support terrorism or something. And I said, no. I said, I didn't mention that because, of course, I'm speaking to you representing the Palestinian point of view. Palestinians do not agree. They do not think that Hamas is a terrorist organization. Anyhow, that was that. This person went, complained to the police that she was very distressed by what I'd said, etc. The police got in touch with me. I couldn't believe it. This was about 2 or 3 weeks after the festival. I'd forgotten about it. Police got in touch saying, you are accused of being a supporter of terrorism, and we'd like to interview you. And this is an interview under caution. So it's a formal interview. And I really, really, I could not believe this was happening to me. I was told, advised by friends, don't go there without a lawyer. So I actually got in touch with a solicitor. They looked after me. And it was that serious. So
I mean, my understanding is it is against the law in Britain in this way. I mean, they can, the police can stop you without reasonable suspicion. And as you say, Lebanese resistance, Gaza resistance, all of that is considered a terrorist. These are terrorist groups. But anyway, despite all of that, most British people are against the genocide and against the Starmer government's arming of Israel. Polls show most Americans support Palestine now. Does that mean it's even more critical importance, that legislation, the United States obviously has the First Amendment, so it's much more difficult there, though they have curbed the mass student protests against the genocide. In, say, Britain, presumably it's all important now to legislate so that, I don't know, works of fiction, works of art, works of culture, works of journalism, all of this can be prevented from reaching the public now in Britain and in Western Europe?
Yes, this is very serious indeed. You know, Israel has a very long arm, and it has a very, very big reach. So if we've got a situation now where if you, never mind writing or speaking about Palestine or Hamas or whatever, actually, if you wear a badge which shows the Palestinian flag, or shows something like, or has a slogan like Free Palestine, this can also land you in trouble. Very recently at the Labour Party conference that has just ended here in Britain, somebody was removed from the hall because he was wearing a badge which said Free Palestine. And these are small badges, we're not talking about huge flags. So, you know, it's like that. and it's extremely serious.
The thing is that I know you mentioned Israeli power there, and we've had John Mersheimer on, the professor from Chicago who's wrote The Israeli Lobby, and of course Noam Chomsky's been on. But, you know, has everyone made a big mistake? And it's not actually Israel. I mean, these headlines, Biden fails to rein in Netanyahu as risk of all-out war increases. Is this not really the United States that is doing this? Instead of blaming Israel, you brainwash an entire population into believing all Arabs are evil. There's a Holocaust in Western Europe. And then you pour British, European and American weapons in. Netanyahu and the Israeli occupation forces are merely pulling the trigger. Is it not a product of US empire? Is class not missing from this analysis?
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. Because, you see, so long as you can point the finger of blame at an individual, in this case Netanyahu, or at something called the Israel lobby, then in a way you are absolving the real culprits here, which are the heads of the empire, of the American empire. And in that sense, Britain and other European countries are complicit and are working with the American empire in order to impose their will on peoples in many parts of the world. This is not new. You know, this is part of American history. This is part of British history, where people from Britain went out to other parts of the world, engaged in what we can presume to have been genocidal acts. There was no TV to show us what they did at the time, but I have no doubt they would have been similar to the acts that we've been seeing perpetrated by Israel. They would have been done against Native Americans, against Aboriginals in Australia, against Native Canadians. We will never know, but we must assume that that's what happened. And as a result of those genocidal acts against indigenous people, Britain established itself as the new rulers and the new inhabitants of these areas. So this is something in the history, one could say, the DNA of Britain and of the West. And unfortunately, we in Palestine are having to suffer today the kind of tradition which should have been over at the end of the 19th century. But unfortunately, it's not. When they established the settler colony that they call Israel, in reality, they did it by those methods that they employed previously to conquer America, etc. It's our bad luck that we were caught in this web at a time which is when all over the world there was a shift away from colonialism, from imperialism, onto independence.
Dr. Gadakami, I'll just stop you there. More from the author of One State, The Only Democratic Future for Palestine and Israel, after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the author of One State, The Only Democratic Future for Palestine and Israel, Dr. Gadakami. Dr. Kami, I interrupted you in part one where you were talking about the timing of this latest genocide. I should just add before I let you continue on that why is it journalists listen to Antony Blinken? I don't know what you think when he speaks about how he's trying desperately to stop the genocide when in fact, he never uses the word genocide, when in fact he's pouring in the weapons and giving cover and support without which the genocide could not continue.
Quite frankly, if I were Antony Blinken, I would be very embarrassed. I would be too embarrassed to look at my face in the mirror even. Because how he can carry out a charade of visiting various countries, talking about a ceasefire, talking about the American role in bringing a peaceful resolution to the conflict, how he can do that with a straight face, I don't know. Because he knows very well that there is a way in which this can all come to an end. That the United States turns the tap off the arms that they're providing Israel, the funds they're providing Israel, in order to keep the genocide going. All they have to do is turn the tap off and say, right, Israel, sorry, that's it, no more, you're on your own. It'll be the end of the genocide and the end of the current phase of this conflict. They don't do it. And therefore, all the speeches they make, all these attempts at, I don't know how they have a sort of colorful vocabulary, like no stone unturned or working night and day, this stuff, in order to try to persuade people that they really are putting in the effort, while knowing very well they are aiding and abetting, and in fact they are
sponsors. But why did the journalists believe this story that it is Biden, Genocide Joe, and Holocaust Harris that are the brakes on the increasingly regional widening war as Israel bombs Syria, Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Yemen, and probably Jordan to the mix?
Well, no, Jordan is not in the mix. Jordan is very essential as part of the scheme because Jordan is a buffer state that protects Israel from forces beyond.
I think even Jordan, even the Jordanian king refused to meet Netanyahu during the course of these events. And even some of these usually trusted allies of Israel are not responding now.
No, indeed. Look, it's very difficult for... that's a whole other subject about the Arab states, what their role is, how they continue to maintain diplomatic ties with Israel. It's quite extraordinary, you know, that not a single Arab state has expelled the Israeli ambassador, has terminated its diplomatic ties to Israel, has
Saudi Arabia is certainly not doing what the Americans want them to do. But I mean, back to what I was saying earlier, does that mean that the whole, you know, Edward Said, many people talk about the Christian Palestinian scholar, Edward Said as the source of so much knowledge generations have been taught by him. But there was a critique by Ejaz Ahmed, famously, the Indian scholar, that is all of what has been written about Palestine, and obviously your book moves on the debate to make one state solution a center stage thing, I want to get onto that. Has it missed a trick that this is about the United States and empire? It's not about Israel. It's not about the Balfour Declaration, I suppose, Britain now a vassal state of the United States. And does that mean the United States has to be attacked directly? That Lebanese resistance movements and the resistance movement in Gaza, they're not going to make any impact by attacking Israel.
It doesn't have to be, you know, all or nothing. Israel has a very important role to play in the question of the American empire. So by attacking or restricting the freedom of action of Israel, you would get at an important part of the American empire. No, I don't think that you can just say, well, we'll leave Israel alone and let's just go for America. But that does not mean one is not aware. You have to be aware of the relationships here. you have to be aware that this is the way it works. So when you are engaged in political resistance or action of any kind, you have to understand what it is you're really doing. Now, I think that Israel is one of the most important tools of empire. And you can see that by the way that all the Western states led by America are desperate to protect Israel and to keep it on its feet. So, you know, that shows you it's a measure of its value to them. So therefore, if you attack it, you attack them as well. But you do it, as I say, knowingly, knowing what you're doing.
Palestine has universal, near universal, the international community, if I can use that phrase, which is so misused in media in NATO countries, backs Palestine, clearly. And yet, still, from Russia and from China, the two most important members, arguably, on the Security Council, who I don't know whether you feel could be doing more, they talk about a two-state solution. That may be because Putin and Xi Jinping has not read your latest book, but why is it this phrase is used still by leaders of countries that have expressed absolute solidarity with the Palestinian cause? Most countries in the world, probably.
Yeah, the story of the two-state solution is a story all on its own. You know, the issue, which actually most people don't understand, is that the notion of a Palestinian state as alongside the Israeli state, which is the two-state solution, this was something that was pursued by the Palestinians themselves. But the reason for them doing that is the bit that eludes most people, that they don't understand. The reason that the Palestinians were interested in that idea was because their feeling, and their desperate feeling was, that they would lose the whole country. And that's exactly what's happening now, that they didn't want to lose all of Palestine. So in a way, what they were saying was, okay, let's have a small part of Palestine, even though it's unfair. You don't give the original native population 22% of their original homeland. So that's not fair. However, the Palestinians were saying, as it were, look, we'll take that for now and, you know, live to fight another day. So that was the honest Palestinian position, no matter, leave aside the language in which it was dressed up. Now, the idea of two states was pounced on by the West, because if you think about it, it fulfills quite a few functions. First of all, if you talk about two states, it means you are not anti-Israel. Israel continues to be there exactly as it is, in the shape that it wants, and as a Jewish state, etc. So Israel is preserved in the two-state solution. However, at the same time, you as a third party, as the so-called international community, are not saying Israel must continue and to hell with the Palestinians. Oh, not at all. We're saying the Palestinians deserve something for themselves. So we're voting for a state for the Palestinians, even though it's on a fifth of their original homeland. That is the truth about the two-state solution. And if people, and if, you know, these forces and political actors who support this idea, if they were to be honest and say what I've just said, which is that this is not fair on the indigenous people, at least if you want to share the land, make it 50-50. If you're making it 80-20, it's very unfair, but it's the most that we can try to allot to the Palestinians. That would be the honest position. And then the Palestinians could make some sort of choice. But what they've done is they've talked about the two-state solution and have not lifted a finger to make it happen. I have said, not only in my book, but on many occasions, if you believe in a two-state solution, then you are under obligation to show us how it can happen. Because if you look at the map, look at the map of Israel, I don't even mean now, I mean before, 20 years ago, following 1967, you could see the number of Israeli colonies springing up all over the West Bank, and at the time, all over Gaza. So on what piece of land is the Palestinian state going to be?
Which makes it all the more strange that China and Russia arguably are still using that phrase, maybe. But just finally, as we're running out of time, Britain using Akrotiri base, I don't know how many soldiers there. We don't know. They're keeping it secret about their aid to Israel for the genocide, making them complicit. Bill Burns of the CIA back and forth with Mossad. You worked with the PA and the Palestinian Authority. How to blame, aside from all of that, is the elite class of Palestinian bureaucracy for the genocide, of a like of which we haven't seen, arguably, since the Holocaust?
No, I don't think they're to blame. They're to blame for the genocide. No, I think Israel is squarely behind the genocide and its Western backers. Let's be clear about that. But you could talk about the fact that the ruling elite of the Palestinians has not done anything really about opposing this genocide except by talking about it. So they've continued with the same arrangements with Israel. However, I don't really, to tell you the truth, I don't expect much more of them. And I don't think people ought to waste time criticizing them, because this is, the Palestinian Authority is something that was set up under occupation. It was set up by the occupier, by the colonizer. Those arrangements are not alien at all to world history.
Dr. Gardakami, sorry, we've run out of time, but thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and I would very much hope that people will read my book and get to understand why it is that I favor one state over the two-state solution.
Thank you. That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those bereaved by UK-US EU armed genocide. We'll be back on Monday to investigate who is really pulling the strings behind Biden and Harris in Washington, with Malik Obama, brother of the 44th US President Barack Obama. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.